Welcome back to the Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones. It's been a couple months since we have uploaded last, but today we have some stories from Michael Curls with you. He's the creator of the text message directions, Wikipedia, weather tool that a lot of people that have dumb phones use. So today we're going to be talking about that tool. We're going to be talking about his experiences and why did he decided to create this low-tech tool that helps a ton of people. Michael, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and tell us why did you create this phone text message based service that allows us to get maps and so many other useful features.
So I was using a dumb phone for a while. I just got my first smartphone a couple of years ago. Hoping to go back if I can. I just didn't really like having the internet in my pocket all the time. Like a lot of people, I found it very distracting. I learned to do programming type stuff. You know, I became a software engineer a few years ago. And the biggest pain point for me walking around with a flip phone was not having directions. So I thought, well, I guess I can just fix my own problem now. Google used to have a service where they would give you text message directions. You know, they had a phone number set up that you can text asking for directions. And, I think they discontinued that in 2013 or something like that. So I remember that and I thought, well, okay, I wonder how hard it is to do this thing. And it turns out it's not very hard because Google does all the tricky, you know, direction finding work. So all I have to do from a software perspective is accept text messages, do a little bit of text processing and give a response and, you know, try to format the response as readable as I can. So I made this thing for myself mostly. And then I thought, well, might as well see if anybody else wants to use it. I didn't want to advertise too much because it does cost me money and I don't want to have a headache of, you know, like if a small country found this thing that didn't use smartphones, like I'd just go bankrupt overnight. That's becoming a little bit less of a worry. I've set it up so that if too much usage happens, the thing will just cut out before I lose all my money. But yeah, so far it hasn't really been a problem.
So it seems that you were in a place where, you know, a lot of dumb phone users probably are sometimes. There's different devices out there nowadays with smart capabilities. You have some dumb phones that even have maps and full-fledged systems. But then there's more basic devices and you're walking around, you're trying to find a place, let it be a supermarket or a gas or food store or anything, and you don't have that access and convenience that you have with smartphones. So what do? You decided to create your own tool. You decided to kind of like just code it. If I understand correctly, this is kind of like a Twilio account, essentially, with some coding in the background. It seems to me, right? Like, you know, it's kind of like a text message service. You send a text message, you get a response. And then you added a couple of extra tools like weather. And I think you were thinking about doing like a Wikipedia thing. But of course, there's a lot of characters involved in that. Now, this was... Well, I found out about it probably about a year and a little bit ago when I was using my light phone and we still didn't have the directions tool. We still had to use only, you know, whatever it was, music, podcast, and that's it. So it was really useful to me and it's been useful ever since. I've even been able to find a couple things from here and there. So did a lot of people start using it? I remember you sharing a story a couple of months ago about a kind of like a hike in pricing or like, you know, a lot of usage that you were having for the tool.
Yeah. So I don't remember when I posted this. I made the thing 5 or 6 years ago. I posted it to some subreddit back then. And I got a few people using it. You know, I would get like a few messages a day. It started to kind of steadily grow. I think the light phone community kind of picked it up first. And I was getting decent usage out of it, you know, maybe 20 or 30 messages a day. And then one day I got every time Twilio, yeah, I use Twilio for the messaging. Every time the money goes down, they charge me $10 and I get a little email. And I got you know, a few emails in a day. I thought, oh shit, what's going on? it was very, I was kind of scared, and I do have logging on messages. I know that's something we can talk about in a bit, but in the messages, there were all of these directions that were going to some, like a particular Jewish institution in New Jersey. And I thought I was kind of caught up in some dumb internet joke. You know, there's like some 4chan people or whatever, like using my server. I didn't understand it, but I was kind of, it didn't occur to me that there were actually Jewish people using this service. And it turns out there's a, you know, a rabbinical college in somewhere over there in New Jersey or in that area. Apparently it's one of the rules there that you can't have a smartphone. So it was a bunch of kids basically who found, or young adults, I don't know how old they are, but they found this service and one person found it and just shared it around with all their friends. And they were all like going to this one institution, and that's why that was the main thing people were testing it out with. Took me a little while to figure that out, though.
it seems that in this journey, right, as you've been doing kind of different things and work, you created this tool but for yourself, then it kind of expanded, and now you have a quite like a large community. Now, I think most of the service only works in the United States, or does it also work outside? Have you know of any like international users trying to do that? I'm pretty sure the charges for them would be quite expensive, since texting, you know, from overseas to a U.S. number, even though it's automated or whatnot, it will be kind of expensive for them. So I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah. So, if a person can text the phone number, then it will work. But it does cost me quite a large amount of money if people outside of North America use it. I think one direction from somebody in Sweden or something cost me a few dollars, just one message. Twilio has a kind of funny pricing structure. It's charged by the message segment, which is like 160 characters or something like that. Yeah, so I think technically it would work from other countries outside of North America. I mean, it has worked in a sense. I would really hope people don't do that. I do have I've offered to set it up such that people can have their own phone number through Twilio and then just use my app as a kind of back-end logic part of it. And then they can pay their own fees. And I kind of hope that if people want to use it from other countries that they do that, because then I don't have
right.
to pay
for it. Otherwise, yeah. There will be some kind of like overlap and shutting down, because it can be expensive. Or, you know, if they are able to donate, or you're able to get enough donations, which we'll talk about that in just a second, how you're funding this and like how, you know, the community maybe has supported you. But tell me, like, okay, so there are kind of like some complications here. So you used the dumb phone before. I'm kind of interested in knowing like what dumb phone do you use. But also, as you have transitioned, what are some of those things that, now that you're interacting sometimes with the dumb phone community, what are some of those things that you like to see in the future from it? And why, or how has this tool been evolving throughout your journey?
So I guess I'll talk about that last thing first. Probably good to just put it out there what the thing actually does. So it started off just giving text message based driving directions, and then I added walking and biking and transit directions. And then from people sending in requests, I added weather information, which actually people use a lot. I'm kind of surprised by how often people use the weather thing. And then I added something where you can find business information. Oh yeah, that was the other thing I really missed, having a dumb phone. You know, you can call 411, but every time you do that, it costs $2. So I wanted something just to get, you know, like a cafe's phone number so I can call them, see if they're open or whatever. So I added something where you can get business information for a particular business, or you can also ask, you know, what are some grocery stores near this location or something. So I've been adding those features over the years. I have really been focusing on trying to make this not have a potential for addiction. I think especially because now my core users are Orthodox Jews. I don't know exactly why they're using it, but I assume like they don't want to have an addictive thing around with them all the time. That's why I've kind of hesitated to do this Wikipedia thing. Some people have asked if I can just put maybe the beginning summary of a Wikipedia page, so you can get some basic information. There's even a chance to add like a Wolfram Alpha type thing where you can ask just any question like you would ask Siri. That one has some licensing issues that are kind of getting in the way, but I also don't want you to be able to check stock prices, because people get really addicted to checking stock prices, you know. And even the finding a business feature, some people are like 20 times a day just looking up random businesses. So I saw my dumb phone as a kind of safe place away from the internet. And I didn't want the internet to kind of sneak back in to people who are using my service for like bare minimum stuff. And once that functionality is in there, like I know for myself, once, you know, cryptocurrency checking was in there, I would just not use it. Right. So. That's been a kind of tough line to walk. I don't remember your other questions.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. Because as I listened to what you said, something came to mind, and it's kind of this balance or lack of balance that we as human beings have with information. You know, if we have the ability to look up certain information, we get not addicted fully, as in like a dependency, right? Like, you know, I'm not dependent upon searching this information, but just having that ability kind of gives a craving, right? Like, you know, if I have a dumb phone, the idea is that I will want to disconnect. But the moment that dumb phone has the ability to look up anything from Wikipedia, then all of a sudden some people have this reaction that is, well, let me look it up. Why not? Like, you know, if I have access to it, let me just do it. And there's that self-restraint that sometimes you have to learn to have. But I think it speaks to our human need towards information and how information really shapes our brains and reshapes the way that we understand the world as a whole. So it's quite peculiar, you know, that you're trying to be intentional with this and trying to keep it. But what you're saying is in your journey, you know, now that you became kind of like an engineer and working in this space, how would you relate that kind of need for information to the dumb phone race, to the smartphone race? Do you feel like it's a good thing to have all of this available information in our fingertips? Or should we just kind of go back to just the basics and necessary things that are put out there?
So I can really only speak for myself on this one. I I would call, I mean, I would say that I have a sort of an internet addiction. I think in general, people overestimate humans' ability to, humans' willpower, basically. Like, willpower is not a very useful way to shape your habits. And it's much better to just limit your options to the ones that you actually want to be doing. There's a whole body of work on this kind of thing. And it's always better to just like make the right decision ahead of time instead of relying on each individual moment having to make the right decision over and over again. I had a smartphone briefly. The company I was working for was paying for, and I was like checking my email while I was driving, which kind of terrified me. And people would sometimes say, well, then just don't do it. Okay. I tried to just don't do it. I mean, I tried that. It didn't work for me. I wasn't able to. So maybe some people are, maybe some people are just super disciplined about this stuff. But I think probably a lot of people have a hard time, just sort of consciously, intentionally, acting on their, phone the way they want to. I think most people kind of use it more than they want to and in places that they don't really want to.
Yeah, I think what you said there is that some people are wired and they don't really care about their phones. So they're not looking for solutions, like looking for a dumb phone, while others think, I've tried it. I've tried the different apps, restrictions and everything. And there's just something in me that craves beating it or, kind of circumventing the system and finding the information either way. I know I myself, I'm on that camp, and that's why I decided to go full, kind of have a light phone, right? And for work, I have a Sunbeam F1, so I use it for only texts and calls. Luckily, I have a job that allows me to do that and then check everything on the computer, and I don't have to, kind of go or have some sort of smart access on the go. I think the only thing I need is sometimes directions, but thankfully now the light phone has a directions tool and I'm able to use that. And before that, I just bought a full-blown standalone GPS. But I think it speaks to the reality that there are so many different people in this world, and some people react positively, others don't react positively to these things and crave to have their phone every moment. I've seen it in many different environments where people are essentially just glued to their phones, even though they don't want to, but there is something about it that just keeps attracting them. So Michael, tell me more about, as we start kind of going into the final section of the podcast, I'd like to know more about your aspirations. We've talked a little bit about the tool, how it works, and what it has brought, kind of like some of those things. Recently, you made a post about kind of like the future and kind of what you want to see. But what about you? What are some of the things that you're trying to do with your devices and things of that nature, things that maybe people can try or think, well, I never thought about it that way from your perspective.
What are you asking about my devices? I didn't quite get that.
Yeah, no problem. So essentially, how are you hoping to interact with your devices in the future? You talked about, hey, you have had smartphones and dumb phones. So what's your future outlook going to be? And maybe integrating the tool as you go with that.
Gotcha. So I actually got a smartphone a few years ago for price reasons. It ended up being cheaper for me. There was a phone carrier that was super cheap, but it would only work if I had a smartphone. So I got the cheapest smartphone I could. That's been one kind of funny thing about the dumb phone thing is that it's not necessarily cheaper. But I'm hoping to go back. I don't need a smartphone. I don't need data. I want to find one that is a very cheap phone that works with Verizon. I think I need probably one that has 4G. When I was looking before, that was one of the big problems, was that they were all 3G and Verizon wasn't working with that. So I want to find a dumb phone that has, that's cheap and has 4G and will work with Verizon. And then I'll be using my service for directions and stuff. That should be kind of nice for other people using the service, because I'll know when there's problems with it more quickly. Yeah, so I also made this, you were also kind of referencing this post I made on Reddit a week or two ago. I've been seeing a lot more usage in this service lately. I get about 100 to 200 messages a day now, and at about 4 cents a message, that's costing me. So I'm hoping to figure out how to pay for this thing. Right now I'm just basically paying for it. I get some donations, but it's about half the cost. And I have some money that I can use to pay for it. But it would be nice to find a kind of more sustainable model. So I've set up a Patreon. It's probably the best way to support the thing, just so that I have a kind of, it's easier to get a sense of how much I'll get in donations if I have a Patreon instead of one-time donations. I'm thinking about maybe having some kind of premium features that people who pay will be able to get, even maybe just like, you know, you can get a certain amount of free messages per month, and if you want more, then you can pay $1 a month or something. I'm trying to figure that out. If anybody has any suggestions on kind of freemium type model, I'd be happy to hear it.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know that you're thinking about the future and sustainability. That's important, especially. I think the freemium is what most people do nowadays. And yeah, you know, it's always difficult to be like, well, it used to be free and I could do all the messages. Well, yeah, but it costs somebody, right? Like, you know, you have to kind of balance it out and see, like, maybe using it for this amount of time that works for some people, these amount of text messages. And then if you want more, if you're really using this tool, either, you know, maybe you help them set it up on their own so they can pay on their own, or, you know, they give that extra little $1, $2 a month contribution through Patreon or PayPal, you know, all of these different platforms nowadays. It seems like you can donate to people in so many different ways. And of course, cryptocurrency, of course, you know, also another way. But Michael, thank you for coming into the show and kind of giving us a little bit of like background, like how you kind of started this tool and where you're going with it. It's really exciting to see that you're kind of looking into dumb phones. Verizon is one of the toughest ones to find a good dumb phone for, especially because of their compatibility. But it's good to know that you're heading that way, and that's super exciting. Any extra thoughts or anything else you'd like to say as a final word? This is your time.
So what dumb phone do you recommend for my case?
good question. I think in my website, of course, I have a tool that you can sort dumb phones for. But uh-huh. I think, I don't know, maybe a Kyocera Durex V should be good. That's one of the best Verizon dumb phones.
Does it have a browser? Because a lot of dumb phones have browsers now, which is kind of upsetting.
Yes. If you're looking for something that does not have a browser, then yeah. I would say the Sunbeam F1 is the Verizon compatible device that does not have a browser at all. Okay. And it's only like calls, text. It does have maps, but no browser. It just has like its own private maps application through Here Maps. And okay. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, Michael, thanks a lot. Your final word was a question, and that's good. So that's always great. If people want to find you, I'll put the links in the description so that you can get donations or anything else. And as always, we hope that you succeed on your goals and everything that you do. And if you're listening as well, we hope that you succeed on your goals and stay focused on them. See you next time.